Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome back, y'all, to another episode of Crypto Bros. I'm your host, Jason Madison. As always, joined by my co-host, Chris Epps and Mike McGoy. What up, fellas? How y'all feeling today?
What up? Feeling good, feeling great.
It's a nice day.
It's a nice day. We didn't die. You know. Bitcoin is still alive. The market is still alive. The stock market is still alive.
Go figure. All we needed was some more BPS, some of those BPS points, courtesy of Jerome, to keep us afloat for a few more days.
Now, when you say alive.
Right.
When you say alive, are we aware that the stock market has given back all its gains?
Yeah.
From post-COVID.
Crypto too, I think in a year actually. Crypto gave back, or Bitcoin gave back the gains in a year.
Yeah, no, everything. It's was it 9 trillion, I think, that we've the market has lost or something?
Nature is healing.
But the crazy thing is, how much did we just print, right?
Yeah.
So we literally just lost all the money we just printed.
Yep.
And they just turned it back on.
Poof, it's gone. Just like that. Magic. Man,
this is
take notes. Take notes right here, people, because this is the next step. We had our COVID crash. It feels like we just had the COVID crash almost.
Right.
Yep. You know, so, just it's not as crazy.
Yeah, there's just no STEMI coming.
Yeah.
This time. There's no PPP to back us up this time.
Well, did you see our president actually with his Freudian slip?
No, he said,
what do you say?
I'm over his Putin price hike bullshit. But what did he say now?
Right. So that was all bullshit. And, you know, I have to always, I feel like I should preface my bias because I have a Russian girlfriend who family loves Putin. So I understand a different perspective.
Yeah.
And that Putin price hike has been bullshit from the beginning. You can just look at the chart.
No, of course.
The chart shows you that the gas prices were skyrocketing before the invasion.
It has nothing to do with the invasion. It's all about the inflation and companies being able to hike up prices on consumers. So that's what they're doing. And gas is usually going to front run all the other markets in terms of raising prices on consumers. So yeah, this is, we know, everybody knows.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's always just like the same thing with Luna made Bitcoin crash. The market was already crashing.
Right.
You know, it's written in the sand. You just, you know, forget about it in that moment.
Yep.
Every cycle. Again, like I just said, take notes because this is going to happen in 2 years. Same shit.
And there's also
Bitcoin's at 30K now. Oh, no.
There's also a popular phrase, too, in the financial industry where they say to sell in May and go away because you're expected to see much choppier waters in the summer months. Some of that has to do with a lot of the big money, big wigs go on vacation during this time.
Yeah.
And so
they're in choppy waters on the boat,
right?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. In those choppy waters, right? But there's a lot less liquidity in the market. So you can see swings a lot more heavily when there's a lot less liquidity. Just kind of that basic.
Yeah. And more to the downside.
Oh, and more to the downside for sure.
Yeah.
I saw a 20, they're calling for another 20% correction possibly in tech stocks alone.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't seen the bottom. That's the prevailing sentiment from everybody, from BitBoy Crypto to Bill Ackman to every financial expert and non-expert, the prevailing sentiment is that we have not yet seen the bottom. So where do you guys think the bottom is? I saw the exact percentage that Netflix has lost. I'm so, you know, entranced with Netflix stock for some reason right now.
Yeah, why?
I mean, they need to go down another 90% easy.
Well, because
90, Chris?
Hey man, 90 in a day. That's just 90 in a day. Don't forget things can keep going more.
Well, because I think Netflix to me, like Bitcoin, are two things that I'm very interested in. I followed them for a few years. Obviously, I'm in the industry for Netflix, so you know, I have like that interest in it as well. But part of me wants to buy Netflix when it gets to a certain dollar amount. Because I don't think it's necessarily a company that's gonna go away. I mean, it might, you know, shit, who knows? There are a lot of other companies in, you know, its waters. It's a lot of other sharks have started to swim in its waters. So It might not be enough food for them to eat once everything shakes out. But it's just interesting that they went from $700 to $176. One of my friends told me he had bought at $150. You know, I have a few friends that work for Netflix. And also looking at Meta and their like huge drop off. A lot of people say they're going to zero. You know, they pivoted the company at the wrong time. And then, you know, obviously we look at the crypto market and everything that's done what it's done. Bitcoin, you know, dropping 20,000 from 69, Ethereum from 43 to, you know, 900, I think it's what, 1100 now. Those are the ones I've been focusing on and like intently and just kind of seeing where they are every day. Cause those are the ones I'm interested in buying, I guess is to answer your question. Like if I'm looking for buy opportunities right now, you know what I'm saying? Like now I'm kind of looking at myself more so as like a robotic part of this system. And so if I'm somebody who is earning and, you know, trying to build my credit and trying to start my restart my investment portfolio, where am I starting it from? Mm-hmm. You know? So where would you, if you were advising me or somebody that was just, you know, hey, you just got a good job, you got a little extra cash, where would, if they were looking at a stock or crypto, what are you thinking right now in the bear market, where to buy?
I got to preface this by saying that this is not financial advice.
Right. This is homie advice.
This is homie advice. But yeah. I did just get off like an hour and a half long compliance call earlier about the same very matter of not making direct recommendations on specific assets that we don't offer. So what I would say, it's like building a pyramid or a house. Mm-hmm. And like anything, you got to have a foundation, a base.
Yeah.
And so that base for a lot of people, you know, has been gold, sometimes digital gold, I guess. Also, if you want to use Bitcoin, but I'm not sure how you could have a base of a portfolio that does 80% swings every 4 years.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, you can do that, or even a base could be like some dividend yielding stocks as well.
Right. Or bonds. I was thinking about that. Yeah, I was thinking about bonds. So an interesting thing that, you know, I've been like looking at stocks and stuff like that. I've obviously the Fed and, you know, all of their movements, they're raising the interest rates and things like that. Bonds have been a big part of the conversation. My grandfather had got me bonds. He bought me bonds every year when I was a kid, every year of my life as like part of my Christmas gift, or birthday gift. And so I hadn't really seen any bonds since then, since I was younger, heard anybody buying bonds. But, you know, like that was one of his financial things that he taught me, you know, early on, basically saying, like, doesn't matter what's going on in the world, a bond, the value of your bond is always going to go up.
My issue with that mindset is it's a little antiquated.
Yeah.
And so he wasn't incorrect in saying that because right. At his time that was.
Yeah, this is 1993, 1996, you know.
And fam, even by 93, that was already an antiquated thing. Bonds really stopped yielding in like the early 80s.
Yeah.
Because they're pumping, they started printing.
Right.
Like you're getting cash back. So the cash that you're, you know, getting back in that vest is going to be cut. They cut it.
And so he's not wrong in saying that, but there's just another, I mean, he kind of is, you know, it's just that strategy was right at one point is what I would say in that.
Right.
It's just like my clients who I have so many goddamn clients, bro, who are stuck in annuities and CDs.
Yeah.
And I love to first just ask like, hey, what made you even consider that course of action?
Right.
Right. And more times than not, they say the same thing, which is, well, this was a great investment a long time ago.
Yeah.
Well, I grew up on, you know, CDs and annuities, and my father had one and it gave him back 11%. And it's like, yeah, bro, but that was like in the 70s.
Right.
It's been giving you 1.2% if for holding your funds for a year and a half for the last like 5 years.
Yeah.
I think losing money due to inflation.
And I think that's kind of where I'm at right now is I got a little bit too overhyped on my new finance, you know, style with the crypto and all that. And now I'm looking back at the old ways and, you know, like I said, my grandfather and, you know, dad and all of that and their ways. And that's a little too old. So it's like I'm kind of at the Goldilocks spot where I'm like, this is porridge is too hot. This is too cold. I need to find what's just right in the middle. And I think there's a lot of people who are kind of in that space right now too, right? It's like people don't really trust crypto in the same way they did 6 months ago. They'll still fuck with it, but if they got, you know what I'm saying, 20 grand, they're not putting 16 towards crypto anymore like they may have done, you know what I'm saying? Like
I am.
A few months ago.
All in ETH, baby.
Yeah. All just, in ETH.
Yeah, Chris. It's that electronic oil, you feel me?
Yeah. I feel that, by the way. I feel that. And, you know, just to answer your question, though, Jason, I really believe that the base of your financial pyramid or financial house really probably at this point my best bet be, you know, some dividend yielding stocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because they don't when they die, it's not the same. And they have FDIC, they got back in
that FDIC.
They got daddy's credit card ready to go. Like, I mean, then again, Sam Bankman-Fried, you know, our boy did just bail out BlockFi. Literally, I mean, crypto starting to do their own bailouts. Now he's bailing out a company that he bought.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. But yeah, I think you gotta go a hybrid route, dude. It's right now I'm thinking, it's gold, some other.
Yeah, that makes sense because I just copped the hybrid. I just copped the Prius. So my life, everything is hybrid for millennials. Yeah. Everything, swirl it up. Everything you need. I'm a little old school, a little new school. I'm 87. We was, you know.
I'm actually thinking about the gold. Going back to looking at gold in general and Bitcoin and of course Ethereum, but also the housing market's going to be taking a nice dip. It's taking a nice dip. And I think it might be for a second, you can grab something in there. I do think land is.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone forgets about, I think everyone forgets about that.
Well, yeah, that was the main conversation I was having with my grandfather. You know, he was saying he just bought another house in Vegas. He has like three houses in Vegas. And, you know, part of the conversation that we were having was like, I was thinking about buying a house and then quickly landed on it would be smarter for me to buy a house as an investment property. Also, not in Los Angeles, you know,
Airbnb that shit out.
Or, I mean, more traditionally, you know, single family home and have them, you know, rent, you know, and that be the situation. But again, that's kind of like a longer term play, kind of have to build up to that level of, you know, I got to build my credit. I got to get, you know, get the down payment and all that together. So that's a little bit longer down the road, you know, and then like, we were kind of talking a little bit before the pod started, Chris, like, I'm still kind of with you. I'm like, hey man, cool cats are only for ETH right now.
Here we fucking go with this shit,
bro. Long live the non-fungies, bro. Non-fungies will never die. You can't break them up.
Mike, are you completely over them now?
Hey,
I mean, I was over them 3 months ago.
He was.
You know what I mean? 3-4 months ago. And only because people whose opinions that I trust in this space, okay, are only shooting like 35% from the field.
Yeah.
Fam, that's not good.
Yeah.
3 out of 10 NFTs that I'm going to buy are going to be profitable. The other 7 are going to be non-profitable. And this is
like, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's just not like a winning vertical for me personally to allocate so much time into. because I don't understand the rhyme or reason as to why specific projects do extremely well and other projects with similar backing or a larger, you know, a larger community do worse.
Yeah.
Like there's no rhyme to that. There's no reason to that. So for me, I'm out.
It is the Wild West. It is literally the Wild West. But you notice only the things that are worth money, that are expensive, usually stay.
Usually.
Can watch the volume, watch some metrics now after like 2 years of this shitstorm and kind of tell what at least should stay. But getting 3 out of 10 is that's a nice hit.
Right.
It's real shitty. The problem is also it's the unit bias is in everything. The unit bias is in all of these markets, especially when you're, you know, talking about retail and mass adoption. We're all going to want to buy something cheaper to do the same thing that the apes did or that the Fidenza did or that Bitcoin did. And that's where the trap is. And that's why right now all we can talk about buying is gold, Bitcoin, Ethereum, or property. Because in the end, the things that are worth the most are the only things that have staying power and the things that keep their liquidity. And so it's written in the sand. It's just fucking, we always kind of get fucking glossy eyes and get excited and see some shit happening and want fast money. And the fast money thing is the problem. We just want fast money. Like Coinbase making a derivatives product aimed for retail traders as of today.
Coinbase is doing way too much, man. Again, fuck Coinbase. As a staff record label and a motherfucking group.
And to piggyback on Chris's analogy there of the glossy eyes, who else has glossy eyes, bro? Meth addicts.
Yeah.
This is essentially what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're fucking sitting here just hitting glass, like hoping that we don't get hooked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Staring at glass and hitting glass and can't even see what you're doing.
Man.
Like you literally, we're all up tens of thousands of dollars and we're still just buying bullshit and trying to get the next tens of thousands, still trying to milk it every time.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
It's like being a gambler.
It is.
You know
I prefer
saying?
Meth addict as a better analogy.
Yeah.
With gambling, you gotta have some logic. Yeah, there's some math to it sometimes.
But there's a lot of goblins.
That just
what's up with that?
I don't know. They're doing pretty well. Apparently, our boy Molo's at NFT NYC. He was hanging out with them yesterday.
Oh yeah. So NFT NYC is cracking now. NFT NYC. Bobby has some events, of course. Bobby had the.
Protest.
Yeah, did you see the protest, Mike? The fake protest that he says?
Was that him?
Yeah.
And I saw it when I woke up.
Oh, that was great.
I woke up
early
that morning and I saw Twitter posting it. They're like, oh shit, it's lit. And then m'ladies, everyone were memeing it. And then I saw the God Hates NFT thing and I was like, wait, this is the shirt. It took me a second to realize it after I saw that one little
poster.
Yeah, poster. And then I was talking to about my friends and right after he posted about it, I was like, okay, that was really good.
Yeah.
That's probably the best marketing strategy I've seen.
Yeah. But I mean, Bobby's great with that stuff, man. So, you know, shout out to him. He had a Spike Lee come through for a talk out there, which I think is dope. Spike Lee was in a commercial. Was it a Coinbase commercial?
He was in Coinbase, he has his own project going on, too.
Okay.
Yeah, let's unpack how dope that was to have Spike Lee there for a quick second. What is Spike doing?
Yo, he's actually, he was working on a crypto NFT fund 6 months ago. He hasn't talked about it recently.
Okay, well, if we want to unpack it, Mike, I was formerly a huge fan of Spike Lee. I love his older stuff. As he's aged up, he's gotten a little bit more out of touch.
Yo, we cannot flood the man who helped me literally eat. And
no, we're not. That's what I'm saying. I love Spike Lee. He's probably the greatest Black filmmaker of all time. Malcolm X is my favorite movie.
Why are you up there, bro?
I don't know what he has to do with crypto or NFTs or the Atom Bomb Squad. I don't think that he has really any connection to any of this stuff other than that they hired him to do a commercial. And yeah, he's one of a million people who said that he was going to do a project and didn't do it. And, you know, whatever. I mean, most people are out here just trying to hit a lick off some new shit, you know? Like, I think it's funny, honestly, that so many people have came after Matt Damon for being in that commercial. I don't know if you guys are aware, people, like, whenever they want to make a joke, like, on TV about crypto, like, they go at Matt Damon, like, exceptionally hard for making that, you know.
Is that Super Bowl last year?
Yeah, Fortune Favors the Bold, like, commercial. But it's like, dude, he's just in a commercial. Like, Larry David was in a commercial. A bunch of people have been in crypto commercials.
Yeah, and by the way, Matt Damon's still going to have the last laugh. Especially if that compensation is anything how I think it was for that
commercial. Come on, bro. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. As well as also, like, if he was compensated stock, right? Yeah. From crypto.com is, or not stock, but actual coins, CRO tokens, whatever. Like, bro, that anyway.
Yeah.
Losers gonna hate, man. That is what it is, man.
That's all it is.
It's a lot of FUD right now, bro. Lot of FUD right now.
There is. That's usually y'all were just talking about how people are saying there's more blood to be shed. And I was like, oh yeah, more bottom signals to look at right there.
Right.
And everyone's saying it.
The bottom is usually already in.
Yeah.
My neighbor who's a hardcore art seller. To be fair, she sells shit art.
Right. Granted.
And right, like I'm trying to like say this like respectfully because I like her a lot, but she sells shit and is so tickled by the fact that NFTs are down right now. And so she comes by last weekend and is just like, yeah, so you know, is it fair to say that that I was right?
Oh yeah.
I was like, right about what? About them being worthless or about them dropping in price? Because they're still not at zero, so technically there's still a worth there. There's still more people looking at and buying this art than the art that you sell. So I'm confused as to what metrics we're utilizing to say that, you know, NFTs are dead, or that you're right, or that this was all a scam, or you know.
Oh yeah, no, everybody's been jumping out of the woodworks. I've seen
Instagram
so many
is lit.
Yeah,
Instagram
I've seen so many
lit. I love
so
it.
Many tweets. Not a lot of memes, but a lot of tweets from other celebrities who are ready to throw some dirt on the grave of crypto and NFTs, crypto specifically. Where are the crypto people now? I told you it was a Ponzi scheme. I can't, if you listen to a black person who told you about crypto, well, how do you feel now? Like all this shit, like.
Whoa, I haven't seen that one. That one.
Oh yeah.
What is the person being? Who black said that? To do
it was a black person because you know. Yeah, it
sounds like something we would say.
Yeah, that was upset. Obviously, a lot of people are upset that they bought at the top.
Dogecoin, they bought Doge at the. A lot of people are upset that they listened to the wrong person and then want to blame it on the wrong person. But also, people got scammed.
Yeah, but I've always been not, this is not financial advice. I've always told people leverage is a high form of gambling.
As you wrong every coin that you can.
Yeah, right. And I did it. I was a gambler. Look, and that's why I was telling people.
Whoa,
was
us. We know.
Yeah, like whoa. I was telling you I was making bread, but I was also telling you I was doing it in a very, very risky way. You know, and people don't hear that when you tell them that. They hear, oh, you making money? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and now that whatever they tried to do, whatever everybody tried to do at the top of the cycle is not going how they want to go, they're upset. And they're also the other people who never believed in the first place, who are just waiting and trying to clown, you know?
And that's fine, man. But there's going to always be those people. We can go back and look at any and every industry. I mean, someone posted a tweet from, I think it was like Warren Buffett, like basically laughing at the tech crash of 2001.
Yeah.
Yeah. How'd that pan out?
right? And so again, you know, there's more than one way, as they say, to skin a cat, I guess, but to think that there's only this one way, you know, like there's just only one way to get financial freedom or to, you know, add more zeros to your account or to 1x or 2x your portfolio. There's a plethora of different ways. And it's really unfortunate that people are going to be this closed-minded. It's better for us, though.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that.
It is. And that's kind of the silver lining, is that you need some hate. You need the counterbalance, the yin and the yang, in order for the system to flow, in order for us to get the 10x on our investment. It has to be people that are doubting it. That's just how the game works. Again, as a gambler, I know that in order for the plus 700 bet to hit, niggas have to be fading you in order to make that line what it is. So this is all part of the game. And for the people who just got in, they don't know, right? And that's another thing, is that what I'm seeing more than anything is a lot of people who just got introduced to finance in the last 24 months.
Right. And that's why I have zero sympathy, zero empathy, zero none of that for any of these cocksuckers, because ultimately you jumped in as a gamble. It wasn't as if you were building a sound financial strategy with your shit coins.
You're going off of a TikTok video.
Yeah, bro. So you deserve everything that you have coming to you in the form of losses for trying to take your financial advice from TikTok. Congratulations.
Now I've learned a lot from it, and there's a lot of ways to make money, but financial advice and not listening. And then I think there's like an ego with a lot of these people too, that, you know, they know something better than you. That's what happens, especially when you make money quick in the beginning. We've all done it. And then, you know, takes a few years, a couple of years usually, and you kind of, you know, learn your lesson, hopefully.
Hopefully, right?
Hopefully.
We'll see.
But I mean, it goes for Ethereum and Bitcoin too. Like a lot of people who fuck with ETH heads, you know, we were riding high, 4,300.
But you notice we're still here. We're not
for sure.
We're still here. We're not fucking hoping for an airdrop for Terra 2, Luna 2. We're not fucking out here screaming at the debt at Vitalik because ETH went down. We're right. Like, okay, time to buy more ETH.
Right.
Like that's it. There's a reason why. Again, I always say this. I say this to all my friends. There's a reason why it's worth so much. Yeah. And it feels like you're buying something worth so much because it's worth that much. You're gonna get your money's worth. Now, in dollar amount right now, it doesn't feel as good. But I think if you look at the charts and you zoom out, I fucking hate that shit now.
Zoom
when
out.
You do when you look at when you compare Bitcoin and Ethereum and you line them up to FANG, to the tech stocks right now. And every other fucking stock and every other market, it's the same trajectory with gold.
Right.
Same trajectory. It's everything else is trying to do that. All these new coins are trying to do that next, but they don't have the time, development, or people or brain power.
So Chris, let me ask you, what do you think about I sent everybody this Pharrell becoming the chief brand officer of Doodles?
It's a great example, actually. Doodles are a great project. I understand why they haven't died. I think everyone also understands that and why they went up to where they're at and why Pharrell would even be a part of that. It's a good looking project. They got a team that's known and doxed and made a bunch of amazing art and media already.
Yeah.
And there's like a well thought out project. It's just it's clean and it's fun to look at, and they're fun. There's a lot of reasons why a lot of these projects have that staying power. Even again, we were talking about Squiggles earlier, which kind of reminds me of Doodles when you think about it, just because the silliness of it and the name, and there's no real reason, but they have that provenance, or they have the crowd's attention because they're giving you something that's, you know, at least speculated to be worth something. And for some people, they don't care. They want to be part of that community of Doodles or Squiggles or BAYC.
Yeah, I mean,
even if they are Nazis.
Right.
Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason yet, but Pharrell being on Doodles makes perfect sense.
I think aesthetically it matches for him. And then, yeah,
and creatively.
And they, creatively, for like sure.
I don't know if you saw that video. I should have shared that. The video.
I think I saw that. Yeah.
That setup is crazy. That shit is fire.
Yeah. No, they got some dope shit. Yeah. I've been a fan since 0.8 and should have bought. And it was funny, you know, when everything was going down and ETH was under 1,000, which was a crazy time. Like everybody was on pins and needles for those couple of days, mm-hmm. which we might go back under. But yeah, I think the doodles were at like 8 ETH floor, 9 ETH floor, something like that.
That's cheap.
Yeah. And I was like, damn, that's really cheap for one of those now. But yeah, you know, I think this is back up to 15 or something since the Pharrell announcement has been made. And, you know, ETH is back.
Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog. And Amin is giving his best ass on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like,
Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with the plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for your eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep. Free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
Mike, what you got rolling over there?
Man, really trying to stay focused on building this company. That is it.
Okay.
It's a tough times right now. Like I said, the sell in May and go away thing is real. So yeah. Anyone with like real money is on vacation right now. It really makes you feel poor, actually. You realize how much of a bum you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I'm sitting trying to service these people's accounts and they're like on 4-week vacations while I'm sitting here blowing up their voicemail. It's terrible.
Yeah. Now you realize like where the money goes, when the money goes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just sitting back watching, man. I mean, there's a few things. The real estate market is very interesting right now. It's interesting to watch. Mm-hmm. We're looking for a place right now, so I'm getting to see it in real time.
Yeah, how are you looking? What's your process like?
Redfin, Zillow right now, for the most part, there's a broker that I used to work with who I do feel comfortable with her. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we might have her, but there's so little inventory to where, I mean, you really don't need a professional at this point, maybe. So I don't know.
Yeah, because there's only a few houses to even look at.
But the thing is, like, man, you know, but we're starting to see more inventory hit the market. And then also you're starting to see the prices start to creep down just a little bit as well. And you can see that off of the listing amounts and them changing the listings.
Yeah.
The floor is lowering is what you're saying.
The floor is lowering.
You should check out Bruce's Beach. That's where you should go check it out.
Yeah.
That's ours now.
Yeah. That's back, ours, baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
I drove past that recently and you know what? It didn't feel like ours.
No.
Not at all.
Not at all, my boy.
Yeah. Well, we got to install over there. You know what I'm saying? I would love to live over there. That's actually one of my favorite parts of Southern California.
Same.
We've had some dope house parties over there. I know. I don't know if Rick still got a house over there. I know Rick had a house over there. That's Bruce's Beach, formerly Manhattan Beach, is a fire place to live. Where are you looking like? The Valley?
Yeah. Porter Ranch, Chatsworth, Northridge area.
Yep.
And it's like, man, it's a struggle though, bro. I'm having a very, very difficult time wrapping my mind around moving to the Valley.
Yeah.
Bro, this shit, I had no idea it would be this much of a mental hurdle. Like, honest to God, like that shit is like, I feel good about it in my soul for sure, but just the like when it comes out of my mouth,
thank you. You're like, that's no not my story.
The Valley. Sorry to all the Valley listeners.
Yeah,
y'all, I love y'all. Bro.
Nah. Yeah, some of my best friends live in the Valley. I love the Valley, but also
the biggest heartbreaks are from girls in the Valley. Yeah,
but yeah, I feel you, Mike, saying that you want to be the guy who says I live in the Valley. I don't know. Yeah.
But the part that sucks is in real life, that's typically where people who, you know, don't have inherited money, that's where they go to buy a real home.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, letting someone know just now that I feel like living in a city almost stunts our growth as young men. Mm-hmm. For simply not even having a garage or a creative workspace.
Yeah,
yeah. Definitely.
These are like manly or humanly necessities, that we don't get to exercise really because we live in these boxes that cost us so much money.
Yeah.
So, you know, on one end, I'm definitely looking forward to that side and, you know, having a garage. God damn.
Yeah.
But on the other end, it's like, fuck, bro. I live in the Valley.
That's the Valley on the first day of summer. The fucking sun's out for 18 hours a day and it's 115 degrees, bro. And your Porsche is overheating. It's not even overheating because of the car, it's just overheating because of California Valley.
Yeah, that's a different lifestyle. I've been saying I wanted to move to the Valley, but honestly, because where I really want to live is Malibu, but really where I just want to live by the water. I want to live in a nice spot by the water. So if I lived in Malibu, Venice, Manhattan Beach, even, I don't know, Redondo Beach seems kind of far, but
it's not that bad though. I've been going down there.
But if I found a nice house in Redondo Beach, I would definitely move there.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? So like
Redondo's fine. The Malibu thing for me was cool until I actually like worked directly with a guy who lived in Malibu. Mm-hmm. And I got to hear
all the problems,
all of his issues and his problems. And bro, first of all, it is a speed trap there and also on the way back, guaranteed, right? Mm-hmm. They almost set you guys up for that. So having people visit you and then leave late night to hit that speed trap is terrible.
Yeah.
Then you had the fires.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Which then wiped out a lot of the acreage or the foliage, which then the foliage was catching the rain, right? So then the rain, so it starts to rain. Yeah. Now there are mudslides everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's like all these goddamn problems. And it's like, man, like this place really, you know, kind of doesn't have as many benefits as I really thought it did just from listening to your stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, if all that doesn't fuck you up, then you got the fucking ocean coming into your your garage if you're able to have a garage.
Yeah. I mean, but that's what I want. That's what I would be moving there for, is for the ocean and the serenity of that. You know, like, I mean, Jamal's spot that they had was very player, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that spot. But, yeah, all the things you're saying are true, Mike. But I don't know. Again, I think, like, ideally, like a Venice, like those houses that are on Venice Beach right there, like, that would be, like, perfect. Obviously, it's a little, like, on the shit, but, like, around in that area, like, there's
down the Washington Boulevard side.
Yeah, there's some nice, like that. There's some nice homes over there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's where I would be interested to look. I mean, the homie Ryan, like, I don't know if, Mike, you know Ryan.
Yep.
Like his family, like their house is cool. Like it's a bunch of shit over there that's really nice.
Can I give us some live tweets from NFT NFC NYC?
NYC? Yeah, for sure.
So NFT people have completely flipped NYC lifestyle or nightlife, excuse me. Tens getting sent to the back of the line. Wow, Jonathan gets VIP access for minting a saber tooth duck 7 months ago. This is the future internet nerds have dreamed about for millennia.
Yeah. That's a great
tweet. It is incel heaven, that's for sure.
Yo, Chris, recently I just found out that there can be female incels also.
Yeah, Femcel? Yeah. Oh my God. I just
Femcel.
I just learned about this too, bro. I just like 2 months ago or like a month and a half ago, I found out about the Red Scare podcast.
These
two chicks from New York that said the word Femcel. I was like, what the fuck is this? And I realized, like, oh, this is part of that.
Is Marin part of those?
No.
Because she said that. I saw a tweet that she posted because somebody was asking her, like, or trying to accuse her of being like a prostitute or something. And she was like, nah. She was basically saying, like, nah, I'm a femcel. Like,
oh, one, she is? Oh,
yeah, she's like, guys. One dude tried to like holler at me for, like, basically they were saying, like, some guy gave a girl like 100,000. For one night, that was like a NFT chick, like one night in the hotel room or whatever. Like, yeah, he's spending 100,000. She was like, nah, it wasn't me. She was like, I'm a femcel, blah blah blah. And I was just like, oh wow, like I never heard nobody say that before.
Wait, hold on, is that bad of a deal? By the way,
100K? Nah,
no, not at all.
I was, send it to my wallet, whatever.
You feel me? Like, I'm like not even considering her a prostitute, actually, for that. Like, that's a nice night.
Yeah, exactly. For anybody,
any line of work, gambling. That's it. She won.
Any line of work, if you can make six figures, be about your paper, man. Yeah.
Be about I'm mad at that.
Yeah. No, for sure. You got some more tweets?
Bill Ackman, actually. I think the bond market is misreading the Federal Reserve. This is likely due to Powell's miscommunication style and some wishful thinking on the part of investors. Inflation is out of control and inflationary expectations have become unanchored. So he's basically saying the bottom's not in also.
Bill Ackman. Yeah, I just followed him today. I saw that thread that he posted. I retweeted it. He actually didn't make it a thread because I guess he doesn't know how to use Twitter.
Yeah. By the way, I don't either. So maybe you can show me that later on or something like that.
Yeah, I got you.
But Bill Ackman, to me, I liked him because of his stance on Herbalife.
Yeah, that was his big thing.
Yeah, that was his big thing. And it was really a fuck you to Carl Icahn.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit before.
Yeah. So, you know, I appreciated that very, you know, Gordon Gekko level of petty. You know, that was definitely right down my alley for sure. I fucked with it.
Yeah, definitely.
But to be fair, he's actually, you know, lost a shit ton of money.
Yep.
Because Herbalife hasn't gone to zero yet.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, they lost in shorts. I think it was something crazy, bro. Like 2-3 billion.
Billions, yeah.
Billions, yeah, in shorts on Herbalife.
Nah, definitely. So that's the whole other side of it is this a bottom signal? You know, from like, you know, obviously Michael Burry got involved in this as well, the other most famous shorter in the market. They've also been notoriously wrong in other moments. You know, everybody's clowning Kathy Wood right now. You know,
bro, I was literally about to go right to clowning Kathy Wood. I'm reading the tweet right now. It said Kathy Wood says the market's pretty close to a bottom.
Yeah, like the replies on that were horrible. I saw that shit too. I was like, oh fuck.
They treat her like Carl, like the moon Carl. I don't know if you know who that is, but they treat Kathy Wood like him, like just like she's the goofiest.
But hold on. Let me push back on that, Skills, because okay, this was also someone that was the media darling.
No, she was getting overhyped.
Darling.
She was the great white hype last year.
But she's the great white female hype.
Yeah.
She hit Tesla, and I guess that just kind of gave her clout. That's true.
And so, like, to my knowledge, I haven't gone through her portfolio, not like that, but to my knowledge, we were just buying pretty much tech stocks that the kids liked.
Yeah.
Because they'll keep going up. And so when Netflix boomed, she ate off of that. When Tesla boomed, they ate off of that also, and they were geniuses. Oh, we even have Bitcoin. Oh, we're geniuses.
Yeah, she was the cool aunt that bought everything that the kid told her to buy.
Yeah,
she's like, the here, I'll give you a blank check, millennials. Tell me what to buy,
bro. The homie was talking about smashing. I'm like, come on, niggas want to smash
100,000 a night.
Yeah, would you smash 100,000 a night?
Yo, I give Kathy for 50.
Mike. Tell me, Mike, are you, if she's sending you the ticket to Paris, to Milan right now,
to watch Virgil.
Yeah, to go Virgil watch the Kendrick Lamar perform at the show. Are you not hitting that for 6 nights in a row, 100,000?
Oh, now it's 6 nights in a row.
Yeah, because that 100,000 a night, you got to keep going for the whole trip.
I'm hitting that shit for a month.
For the whole trip, no nights off.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't think she's an ugly woman. So, you know, that's not that difficult of an ask for me. But, you know, that track record is bad, though.
Her body count is not.
Her body count is bad right now, bro. And it's why I really can't be. I can't really be seen out with her. She might get tomatoes thrown at her from the rafters or some shit.
Just to be clear, we're talking about her record in the market, with other.
This is 2022.
Whoever she's dated. We don't care about that. We don't care about that, ladies.
Yeah.
Like any nigga who cares about that, like run away. We grown men over here.
Right. Yeah.
We're talking about her record at trading on the market. It was hot, but the body count right now is looking less than stellar. There's no Derek Jeters in there right now.
But Kathy Wood, if you want to add another body to your roster, you can hit me up at ChrisX90 at Juno.
Hey, why don't you? You should give her your .eth address.
You can also send messages and ETH to me at antichris.eth.
There you go.
Man, well, let me go ahead and drop mine. Look, perform like Mike.eth as well. In the event we feeling real froggish and trying to get that split roast or something.
And I do not have a .eth address, and I'm off the market. So, you know,
Jason's girlfriend might be willing for $100,000.
Right. Yeah. No.
Dot ETH.
Yeah, that's my shit.
$100,000 a night, Dot ETH.
100K a night, Dot ETH. Is where you can find me.
Hold on. Send it. Send all your indecent proposals to 100K a night, Dot ETH. And then we'll weed them out over the next couple of days here and see who qualifies for the follow-up call.
Jesus. Seriously. Oh, man. So, yeah, I hope we get the unlikely market pump while the housing market continues to go down. That's the whole other thing is, like, as the market is down, the housing market is down. And we want the housing market to go down. But we don't want the stock market to keep going down or the crypto market to keep going down. So it's like, what do we, if we had to choose, the last question of the pod, if you had to choose between the housing market continuing to go down and the stock market continuing to go down, or both of them going back up.
What's that meme? The trade offer?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
If your housing market goes down or everything goes down at the same time.
Yeah. Which y'all feel?
I'm taking the housing market going down. I prefer that, me personally, for obvious reasons.
I think it's going to be, it hurts a lot more people, but I do agree with Mike. In my position, I would like the housing market to go down.
But Chris, let's talk about that for a quick second. Who does it really hurt that the value of your house is no longer what it was last month, unless you're selling it tomorrow?
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
I think I'm worried about the same thing happening in 2008 type B. That's the
I would love if people who couldn't afford the homes that they
got fronted,
lied on to get, got kicked out of those homes. I'm not mad at that.
Right.
Fuck them.
That's true. Right.
You like overextended. Yeah, you overextended thinking that this was sweet and that things only keep going up, just like Bitcoin, just like crypto, just like anything else. And whoa, guess what? It doesn't.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's my thing for me right now. I've been unfollowed by so many realtors recently because a lot of my content that I've been putting out really is just about the interest rates, the housing bubble, or the reduction in affordability for people like myself. And the craziest part is, like, we don't really do too bad, you know, but for us to be priced out of this market, I could only, like, there's a realistic possibility that we might really turn into a generation that cannot and will not ever own the primary property they live in.
Yeah.
And that fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very depressing to think about.
So all we can is get a crypto bag and then convert those assets into the actual house later on.
Later.
Yeah.
We just, that's just going to have to come way later for us. Where the previous generations bought way earlier, we're going to be on the whole other side of the spectrum and have our, like you said, primary residence that is a home that we live in with the garage just a shit ton later.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's grim.
Hopefully by then the earth ain't fucking burning up and your fucking house in Malibu isn't drowning. Like, it's that's the thing too. This time is also exponentially, you know, running out, it feels like.
Yes, it is. So stack your paper, bring on the fucking recession is basically what we're saying. So
Bear Barrington.
Yeah. So we can get these bear market house prices and hopefully, you know what I'm saying, me and my niggas can get into some nice property that we'll feel comfortable building chairs out of and fucking drinking beer in.
Hey, yeah. I wanted to ask you guys a question because I care about you guys' opinion on this matter so deeply. Is it time that I switch my PFP from the fast food friends NFT?
Yeah.
Cause I've been riding that one for a very long time, boy. So talk to me. You guys are in the space, man.
Talk about community member right there. Oh,
yeah. He's dedicated.
Yeah. That's some, you kept that shit on for almost a year. And
but It means different things to me, though. You know what I mean? Like, for me, it just really symbolizes that I am converting towards the digital space of investments, period. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right?
And the analogy of McDonald's.
Yeah, man, by the way, I love that one. Is it time to hang it up or talk to me, guys?
I would say if you have another one, honestly, because I agree.
Swap it out.
Yeah, I agree with your perspective of you want to identify with the mindset that you are moving towards the digital space in the financial terms. So you want people to be aware of that. And that's a cool way to have it displayed. But yeah, if you got another one or something, it might be time to just switch it up a little bit, you know?
Chris, talk to me, Chris. Talk to me.
I think the fast food punks are, what is it? Or fast food friends. Sorry. Fast food friends.
Yeah.
I think that it's, you know, you can dump it. You can put the ENS up there. That'd be cool. No one has an ENS as their PFP. You know, not many people do. Some people do on Twitter, but that's something that's going to have some staying power, I think, more than most of the PFPs that we've seen.
How would I do that, though? You just basically just go to create and
screenshot the ENS on your OpenSea. Just go screenshot it and put that. It'll just have to make sure the performer like Mike is in the thing. It'll just be a blue background with the perform like Mike.eth.
Uh-huh. See, this is why you gotta keep the kids around, man. They keep you hip.
Exactly.
You know, my hips hurt. I don't know what you're talking about. Bro.
Yo, wait. And before we leave, too, real quick, I thought this was hilarious. So a friend of mine, I guess he's doing, well, I don't even, guys who I grew up with, not a friend of mine, guys who I grew up with, let me specify that.
Yeah.
Are two of the, you know, more known, I guess, but model photographers in the space.
Mm-hmm.
So they constantly have, you know, these Instagram models on their pages, and they then do, they go live, and they then, you know, have three or four or five girls all call in or all add in to the live promoting their own OnlyFans page.
Right.
Have you seen this before?
No. Mm-hmm.
Bro, they're literally, it's like four girls all in a row, all shaking ass, popping pussy for as long as you can go. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then also like, add my OnlyFans, Like, oh, okay, I guess.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I popped in on one of my guys' lives one time just to see what this was.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, holy shit. Like, this is kind of wild, actually, right?
Yeah.
And he saw that I was in there. So I typed, oh, hey, what's up, brother? You know, good seeing you. He's like, oh, McGoy, good seeing you too, man. You know what I mean? And he was like, yeah, to the girls. He's like, yeah, say what's up to my boy. And then it was so funny, bro, because the girls go, because all they can see is the PFP.
Right.
Right. He knows me. This is my man. But to them, I'm a PFP.
Right.
And so the first thing they ask is like, oh, this got to be like a white boy or something. It's only white boys that like got like the thing, bro. What does she call it? Like a FT or picture or something. He's got to be like a white boy or something.
Yeah. And
we were just like, wow,
that's crazy.
Wow, bro.
So did they see your face? Did they end up seeing your face?
No, there's no way for them to see my face.
Oh wow.
Right. So all they see is the fast food friend.
Right.
They're like, oh wow, he's got to be a white boy.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's interesting, man. Yeah, I mean, they don't think that a lot of us, they don't know that the crypto bros is actually brothers.
I just forgot about Akutar, which is a black PFP project. Like the main character is a black kid.
Yeah.
Who's like a spaceman. I just forgot about that. I've seen it. I just didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, this is a lot. We're in here.
Yeah.
We'll have a guest on soon that will show you how in here we are. She's at NFT LA or NFT MIC right now.
Right. Yeah. So we got black women in the space too. So yeah, man, shout out to all the crypto brothers and sisters. Crypto bros ain't just bros. We're black.
Yeah.
So on that note, man, for the crypto bros, I'm Jason Madison from my co-host, Mike McGoy, Chris Epps. We see y'all next week. Check us out. Peace.
Peace.